Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Pesachim, daf Mem Ches. We left off Mem Zayin, Amid Beis. Today's daf, we're learning Schus Vushlema, my dear father, Tzvi Aryeh Ben Chana. The Gemara has been discussing the topic of Hayil, and we're going to continue into that Machlekes, Rabba, Rav Chizda, with regard to the topic of Hayil. Gemara then gets into a discussion about the Shirim of Challah, the Shirim of Matzah. They have to be concerned that if you make too much matzah, it'll lead to becoming chametz. And then it's a little bit of a lengthy daf, at least in words, not necessarily the most difficult, but lengthy in terms of words. And then tomorrow we ease into a daf that's, again, not so short, but more has a little bit of a gadita in tomorrow's daf. Okay. So we will discuss the machlokes, Rabbi Chizda Legabe Hayil, and just to get our bearings, Rabbi held that we say Hayil if a person cooks on Yom Tov for Hayil, for weekday. The halacha is he's not going to be chayiv, even though cooking on Yom Tov, not for eating on Yom Tov, really should be a melacha deraisa, and you should be chayiv malchus. Rabbi says not, because hayil, if guests would come, therefore it would be useful for Yom Tov, that's enough to take away the isser of saying that it was cooked for weekday, not for Yom Tov purposes, and therefore there's no malchus, there's no lav. That's according to Rabbi. Rav Chizda says, no, we don't say hayil. So Rabbi asked Rav Chizda, how do you prepare on Friday? That's Yom Tov. How do you prepare for Shabbos? Rav Chizda first said you prepare because of Erev Tavshilin. Rabbi says back, Erev Tavshilin is an Eitzah Derabbanan, and how are you taking care of it? Is it deraisa? According to you, it's a chiv of cooking on Yom Tov, not for Yom Tov, but this is deraisa. So Rav Chizda answers, and this we focused much on this yesterday, that Tzorchei Shabbos nasam be Yom Tov. The halach is that, you're right, normally cooking on Yom Tov for a weekday, that's taka, problem. And we don't use hayil, that since guests may come to take away the isser. When it comes to preparing for Shabbos, that's different. Shabbos, you have to explain according to Rashi, either it's one big Kedusha, it's like one long Kedusha, or it's not necessarily one Kedusha, but it's considered part of what you need to do on Friday, because you won't have food on Shabbos if you don't prepare. So we said, according to Tosfos, okay, but that was the idea that Yom Tov, that Tzorchei Shabbos, Nasam Yom Tov, and therefore Rav Chizda agrees, that's why you let it prepare on Friday, which is Yom Tov for Shabbos. I want to Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin is to make a distinction, because Davka Friday going into Shabbos, you won't cook on Yom Tov for another day. But let's say when Yom Tov is on a Tuesday to cook for Wednesday or Thursday, that Avad will still be prohibited. So that was the Machlokes Rabba and Rav Yeis, and Rav Chizda. So the Gemara we left off with was a moment asking a question on Rav Chizda from a Braisa, which discusses that a person who could cook a Gira Nasha, which is of course Aser, to eat, he cooks on Yom Tov, so he's ready over an Isser for cooking the Gira Nasha, because he's cooking something which is usher to eat. That's not echel nefesh. That's the lav of cooking. But the price of this says a person could cook the get an usher and be over on five chiv elav and five malkas. And the price lists the five as get an usher cooking. Cooking basa b'chalav is number is two. Making a fire, that's going to be the key one. That I'm skipping to the main one, but that the one we're going to first focus on. Making a fire was three. Eating get an usher is four. And eating basa b'chalav is five. So two of them really have related to eating Gira Nasha, and eating Basav Chalav. The other three relate to the cooking, including the Havara. And the question is, for Havara, why don't you say Hayil? According to Rabbah, who has the concept of Hayil, say Hayil, since he accused Havara, the fire, for other purposes, so why are you saying that if the guy gets Malkus, say Hayil, that it could be used for something else, permissible Yom Tov, therefore you should be Chayiv for Havara. And Rabbah, the question was posed from Abaye to Rabbah. Rabbah answered back, you're right, take out Havara, and stick in Atzei Mukta. That's where we left off. Stick in the fact that you used Atzei Mukta. First he says, actually take out Avara and you stick in Nevela. So take out Avara and stick in Nevela. And I think the worst question was, Rav Chiya taught that only two of the Surim were Achila. The other three were related to cooking. If you're taking out Avara, which is a cooking Isser, and sticking in Nevela, which is an eating Isser, it should be three of Achila and two of cooking. And therefore, that answer wasn't good. So then we said the answer we left off with, and we're going to go back to it in the Gemara right now, read inside, about six, seven lines off at the bottom of the page, eight lines off at the bottom of the page, says Rabba to Abaye, you're right, El Apik Avara, take out Avara Va'ayil, and put in Atzei Mukta. So the fifth Isser over there on this Gira Nasha, on Yom Tov, cooking the Gira Nasha, on Yom Tov with milk, the fifth Isser is the Isser of Mukta. And we point out, yes, that's a massive Kiddush, because Mukta is typically what we assume to be an Isser Durabanan. Says the Gemara, well, Mukta Deraisa is Mukta indeed Deraisa. By yes, is Rebbe. Rabbah is Mukta Deraisa. And this is Rabbah, I'm not sure if we read this before yesterday, right at the very end. This is Rabbah Lishtasai. Rabbah is of the Shita, that Mukta is Deraisa. So it's beautiful. Rabbah Lishtasai could put Mukta into this context and say this Malkus there, because Rabbah holds Muksa is Deraisa. From where? Amar Le, Rabbah says back in, yes, Muksa is Deraisa, the Chsiv Ayyub Yamashishi, it'll be on the Friday, Vechinas Sheviyu. Kaiso is taught on the Friday, they'll prepare what they're going to bring, meaning on Friday you have to prepare whatever you use for Shabbos, whatever's not prepared, is talking to me, Asa for Muksa, Vazar Smecha, and they'll have to give you Malkus, that's just a statement. That was a positive commandment. Where do you have a lav to give malchus? Leisasaka malacha. It's included in the leisasaka malacha. The 39, we learn the 39 malachas from leisasaka malacha. Included in leisasaka malacha is mukta, according to Rabbah. Rabbah tackled mukta is daraisa. So we pointed yesterday that that's a bit chiddush. We don't see typically the Gemara's that don't typically go with the shita of Rabbah. The Gemara goes with the assumption almost universally that mukta is drabanan. However, the one thing that is unique is that muktzah, even though it's drabanan, is taka treated mochamer. Muktzah, which is drabanan, is treated mochamer than other drabanans, even of Shabbos. Muktzah is always mochamer. But to say it's daraisa, that's Rabbah Shita, not Gemara, and taka Rabbah is a drasha, but the other Amaram, the other Shitas seem to argue, and the default position of the Gemara typically is that muktzah is only drabanan. Okay, but Rabbah has an answer for himself. His answer is that the fifth is over there is muktzah. Ask Gemara not so fast. Amalias Abaya says to Rabbah, in order to ask this question, we're going to bring a memra that Rab himself had from Rav Chisda. Either you, Rabbah, asked from Rav Chisda, some of the girsa that Abayah was telling his Rebbe, Rabbah, you asked from Rav Huna. Either way, here was the question. If a person means, afar means from pasture. Almost could be from afar. He brings a seh me afar from pasture. Ushachtei tamid biyamdiv mahu. If someone brought a seh from out of the pasture and he shechted it as a tamid on yamdiv, what's halacha? Meaning, is it able to be mukar from the mizbeach or not? So we'll see exactly from the answer in the response. We'll see the question on Rabbah. Vadamrlan, and he said to us Allah on this question. Meaning you quoted from whether it's Rav Chisda or Rav Huna, who gave the following answer. He quoted a pasuk. It's a famous pasuk that we use in Kachin. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel. We darshim many things from this pasuk. Says the Gemara, here's the pasuk that Rav Huna or Rav Chisda quoted. The pasuk, actually, I'll read it outside first, then we'll see it inside. The pasuk says, V'seh achas min ha-tzayin, one seh from the tzayin, min ha-masayim, from 200, min mashki Yisrael, from the mashki Yisrael, from that which is mut to Kai Yisrael. We're going to learn that's what means you can only be a carbon for that which is permissible to Kai Yisrael. L'mincha should be for mincha. That is the pasuk in Yecheskel, Perek Mamay. We're going to dash the whole pasuk to teach me different dinim, legabe, which what items are fit to be a karbanas, mukrav, as karbanas. Seh tells me seh lebachar. Seh says dafka, a regular seh, that's a regular sheep or a goat, but not a bechar. Where do you see sevla from sevla bechar? Rashi explains because says mashma say zachar say nekeva. Both the zachar and nekeva and bechar we know can only be a zachar. So by saying the word se, which is general, non, it doesn't make a difference what gender. It must be not excluding bechar. Okay, so you let it be a carbon from a se, but you can't take a bechar and use that. Once it's already a bechar, you can't use it as a carbon. Tais actually yes, that we have a different drasha for that. The Gemara bottom place on the page. The Gemara Chagiga tells us that we learn from the pasuk of mispas yadecha that whatever is a davish bechayva has to come from chulin. It's the general cloud that we have that when you have want to bring a carbon as a chiyev, like a tamid, let's say in this case, the tamid can't come from something which already is subject to hekdash. It's got to come from chulin. It can't just come from something which is already a chiyev, like a bechar. Taisa says maybe that our pasuk of here is really an asmach tabalma. That would takavi the ikasaurus, the pasuk that we gave in chiga, and this pasuk would be a asmach tabalma for this din. Okay, says the Gemara right there, achas lemaiser. Achas tells me that the animal they bring as a carbon here has to be one and not meiser. You can't take the carbon; it's already meiser. Behema, which is, mice behema, of course, is you bring all the kabanas into the corral, all the animals in the corral, I should say, and you let them exit the door one by one, and you count out to 10, and every 10th you hit with a little red paint, with a stick with red paint, and you make a marker, that the 10th asiri kaidish, the 10th is kaidish, the 10th is mice behema. So a behema is already mice behema, cannot be used for another chiv carbon, it's already mice behema. Very quickly, on this idea of counting out the 10th, Rav Pam had a beautiful idea, Rav Pam Zatzal, Rav Pam over here is from Zichus Shnei's father. So if Pam on the pasuk on the parasha in Bechaysai, where it discusses Kol Shev Tachas Hashem about counting out the 10, Rav Pam just asked, why can't the guy go into his corral? It would seemingly be much more efficient and much easier to walk into his corral and carefully count out. Yeah, you can see animals moving, it's difficult, but count out exactly how many animals he has. He has 100 animals. He says, okay, 10, we'll be meiser, just take out 10. Why is this, why did the Torah make him go through all the effort of having each one, forcing each animal to leave one by one and keeping track of them and making every tenth one meiser? Says Rav Pam, because if a person would go and put all his money together, in this case all his animals together, and then take 10% and give it to meiser, it could be very psychologically troubling for him to be giving such a big amount away to meiser, to tzedakah, to my, in this case, it's meiser payment for karbanos. Therefore, the Torah commanded, the Torah was went into the libay shel adam, and the Torah commanded the derche dachinayim. And the Torah said, you know what you should do? Count. One for me, two for me, eight for me, nine for me, oh, ten. Okay, but tenth goes to Kadosh Baruch Hu. After counting nine for yourself, ten goes to Kadosh Baruch Hu, tenth goes to Meiser. It's much more, it'll be much easier on the person's psyche to be giving away his 10% after he counts nine for himself than just making a total count and then separating all 10 at once, all 10% at once. That could be a little more disturbing. That's what the Torah commands to do this way. Interesting explanation given by Rav Pam on this concept. Okay, but the second part of the pasuk is, again, first part was Sevelei Bechar, Se excludes a Bechar. The second part is that we're excluding Meiser. We're saying Achas Vlei Meiser. Minatzoin Vlei Apalges. Minatzoin from the sheep and not a Apalges. What's a Apalges? So Apalges is, Rashi explains, where it's between the 12 months and 13 months. The first 12 months, it's called a keves, and that's fit for some kabbarnas. After 13 months, it's an ayal, it's also fit for kabbarnas. But that period in between 12 months to 13 months, that 13th month, that itself is in between ishtin ishtar, and therefore it can be brought as a carbon. It's actually interesting. Palgesh sounds very similar to the word pilegesh. Palgesh, right? It sounds similar to the word pilegesh. It's actually a Yamshel Shleima in Yevamos who says that it's a very similar application. What's a Pelegesh? She's not a full Shivcha anymore, but she's not a full, she's Kati married to an Eved. She's not a full Shivcha, but she's not a full Isha, regular Isha either. She's somewhere in between. So to this animal, somewhere in between. It's not really a Kefis anymore. It's out of the first year, but it's not yet an Ayal, because it's not really into the second year enough to be a status of Ayal. It's somewhere in between. That's the lotion of Palgi. It's very similar to Pelegesh. Some wanted to say it's Paleg Seh. The samach is palag seh, a half a seh. It's partial seh, but not full seh. Okay, that's one taich that palagus relates to pelegish. So the chacham over there by pelegish says it's from lashon of palag of half. Half. She's half isha, half shifcha. Lashon of half. Palag means to split in half. Machlokes. It's called a palag. They're split in their views. That's like splitting it. Lashon of splitting. Over here too, maybe you could say along those lines as well. Something similar. It's split. It's not yet a keves. It's not yet an ayal, I should say, but it's no longer a keves. Similar idea. So again, either somewhere in between or split in half. Two different but very similar taiches. Top of memches menalf. Mina masayim. Pasuk says mina masayim. Out of 200, what does that teach you? This is about, talking about the wine from the sechem could be used. Drawn out mina masayim. Memeiser shtei meis and shnei bebar. From the leftover of 200 parts that remain in the bar. This is a reference. This is certainly an asmachta. And Tosfos, if I remember correctly, the bottom place when he talks about the din of Sevlei Bechar, that it's asmachta, because I already know you can't use something which is already Kaddish for my chiyuvim. Taisa says that also the din of Batal 200 is an asmachta. Why? Because this whole din of Bittul 200 is Drabanan. Me'ikra din, Bittul is really Bereiv. Drabanan said in some places, Bereiv is not good, you need Shishim. And yet in other places, Shishim is not good, you need either 100 or 1 and 200. This time, one of those cases, 1 and 200, it's referring to that cases. Me'maisa shtemesh and shababar, from 1 and 200, it's left in the bar. Me'kanla arla shabatel Messiah. There's a source that arla is Bittul in Messiah. This is an asmacht, at least an idea, that arla needs to be 200 to 1. Ratio, and again, even Rashi here, we point out the Bam Taisus. Rashi here also speaks out that this would be more of an asmacht to that din. Okay, from here we learn also that. I skipped. Memashki Yisrael from Mashki Yisrael. What does that teach? Memashki Yisrael literally means for like the Mashki Yisrael doesn't mean for the drink of Yisrael. It means for like for the banquet of Gal Yisrael. That means you can use the wine for the Sechem for that which is fit for Yisrael to eat. There's a big din in Kachem that you can never make a carbon for something which you yourself can't eat. If you can't eat it, not doesn't mean the Baal carbon per se. It means that Gal Yisrael, if it's not fit for you to eat it, it's not fit to go on the Mizbeach. We learn that from where? From this pasuk. Memashki Yisrael. Mina Mutal Yisrael. Mekan Amru. Aim of Yisachem. Mina Tevel. You can't bring Yisachem for that which is Tevel. It's not Mutti yet, and therefore we can't use it for Nesachim. Okay, here's the part that we're getting to where we need. Yachal Yavi Minah Mukta. One would think that you can't bring something which is Mukta on Shabbos Yantav. You can't bring Nesachim for that which is Mukta from some other side reason, nothing to do with the issue of until now. The Farsha explains that Mukta was set aside not to be used for drinking purposes, for wine purposes, certainly for libation purposes. Since it's Mukta, maybe it can't be used. Amrit matav miyuchad shesugufay garmlay tevel. We said it can't be used. It's miyuchad that its own inherent iser causes it. The fact that it's tevel, that's what causes it not to be able to be used. We say something like tevel, which we excluded, that's taka no good. So avkol shesur gufay garmlay. So any other iser that resembles tevel, taka would be no good. Lafuke what yatsa muksa shein esur garmlay. Muksa doesn't have its own inherent iser. This is an external issue, which Rashi explains what's that Shabbos. This is din of Shabbos. Shabbos created, we got from Shabbos a din of Muksa. So it's a side, really, angle coming in. And now that we have iser Muksa, you want to say, can't use it? No, you can still use it. When the iser is inherent, like Tevel itself is inherently an issue, that's when you want to be able to use it. So that is the memra that Rav Chisda or Rav Huna was responding to Rabbah with regards to these animals, animal that came out from pasture. By the way, total side, really, not, I want to say full side point, but side nuance. We said when we brought this animal from the pasture, you want to know if you're able to use it or not. And part of the discussion is there considered an issue of, is it considered an issue, gufa, of not being prepared, of being muksa? That's where this question came up. Rabba was asking, I probably should explain this before better. Rabba was asking, is it okay to bring an animal from pasture? Is it a problem of muksa or not? Rabba asked this question to either of Chizra or Funa, and the answer was from this pasuk, this long pasuk we just quoted all these dinim from, ending up with an answer that muksa is not a non-issue. That's the ultimate answer. But on this idea of bringing the animal from pasture, so the Mefershim, specifically the Avnei is bothered. We know Aloch is a carbon. You're supposed to check it for 4 days before you bring it. Kali Yisrael tied up the carbon Pesach, Psachim, on the 10th. Why? In order to have 4 days of Beaker. It's called Beaker, visiting, of checking it before you bring the carbon. 4 days to make sure it's not a Balmum. If it sounds like when you're bringing a carbon, an animal from the pasture from way out, and then bring it straight for carbon, forget about Mukz issue, what happened to your 4 days of Beaker? Azay effect Avnei Nezer. Answers Avnei Nezer. Interesting Dik from our Gemara, that a Nechami, maybe that's only din lechatchila. The whole din of Beaker, of checking the animal for 4 days, is taka lechatchila, he's supposed to do it, that's the Me'ikra din. But if it's not done, you need to bring carbon, b'dieved, check it now and it's fine. It would only, perhaps, he wants to say, perhaps also, our Shak V'taya, our question for Rabbi, and the discussion here, would be an indication that it's only lechatchila dikadin, not makib. Okay, but here comes the question of Rabbi now. So Rabbi asked about it being muksa, and it was answered that muksa is not an issue, because it's a side issue, it's a davar acher, it's via Shabbos, it's not its own inherent issue. That, it's a muksa deraisa, but according to you, Abai says to Rabbi, according to you, that you have a pasuk v'chinas she'aviyu, and that comes to tell me Muksa is a mamish problem, and you tell me it's also included in the pasuk of Esasa Kamalacha. So it's what do you mean? It's a side iser. That's iser machmas gufa. It's not like some side, a silly iser. It's a din of Shabbos, and because of Shabbos, they were geyser or muksa came about. This is a din of black and white pasuk of preparing for Shabbos, and this wasn't prepared. Mali is a gufa, mali is davacher. What do you mean when you're saying that's iser gufa, iser davacher? There's a regular full fledged iser deraisa here of muksa. That should be enough of a reason to make a problem. Rabba Lishitase should have had an issue with the muksa. Question number two. Va'aid. Furthermore, by as Rabba ha'at with the amrit, you yourself said chiluk malachas Shabbos. This is a very big aside. It's a discussion we already had in the prior Masechtas, whether the chiyuv melachas legabe a person, let's say, does multiple melachas, is he chayev for each and every melacha separately, or is he chayev one for the different melachas? The main poem base of this was in Perek Klal Gadol on Shabbos, where the seventh Perek, where the Ayin Gimel over there, where the Ayin Gimel, I think, is actually the Mishnah of the 39 melachas, but right in the same vicinity over there, where it discusses a person who forgets that Shabbos and does multiple melachas, how many chiyuv, how many karbanas, how many separate lavim was the Eiver. Now we know the 39 melachas, Avara has its own pasuk, really, lighting a fire. Haitza may have its own pasuk, it's a question attached to the pasuk, but the other 37 for sure, melachas, and maybe even the 38, are all learned from Leisasa Kol Melacha, one pasuk. So it would make sense if I was Eiver multiple melachas on Shabbos Chlila, I'd have stuff to bring only one forgetting. I don't have to bring one carbon because it's one less melacha. But we say not like that. We say no. We learn out that there's a chiluk melachas, that each melacha is a separate din, it's considered its own category, even though it's the same lav. Lesas ka melacha, and I'm chayav a separate carbon for each melacha. That's the din by Shabbos called chiluk melachas. But Rabbi holds that yes, by Shabbos chiluk melachas, but not by Yom Tov. By Yom Tov, there's no chiluk melachas. That is Rabbi Shita. Okay, but the question is, if you hold that beyond no chiluk melachas, so let's go back. You want to suggest that the fifth iser by the case of the Gittin Usher was muktza. Muktza is now part of leisasa kamalacha, according to you. We quoted before from Rabbi. Rabbi said explicitly that say the lav of muktza is from leisasa kamalacha. If you hold there's no chiluk melachas on yamtiv, how would you be chayv separately for the cooking on yamtiv and the muktza of yamtiv? It's all from the same pasuk leisasa kamalacha, and anything in that pasuk is going to only be over on one iser, not two. It's one iser kamalacha. If it had been Shabbos, it'd be great. It'd be multiple surim, but for yamtiv, won't be multiple surim. Lishitasei Abai Eskan Rabba Ella. So Gemara says you're right. A different version of Rabba's answer to Abaye. Ella apik avara, take out avara. Don't put a mukta. Rather, va'ayil atzeh shehira. Stick an atzeh shehira That's avoid azara tree. Vazar mehachah, what's azara for atzah? Of course, famous pasuk leidbek beyat chamuma min acherim. You're not allowed to have anything muma from the cherim. That when you destroy a city or destroy an avoid azara, you can't have benefit from any item. Rambam actually takes this to mean leidbek beyat chamuma that avoid azara. This is a source of avoid azara. The Gemara discusses in a few places avoid azara also b'mashu. Even the most minute amount, you don't even say that. Oh, there's 95% non avoid azara or 99%. Only 1% avoid azara. No, avoid azara also b'mashu leidbek beyat chamuma. If you remember, that was when they had the controversy, the question about 15-20 years ago with the shetels that coming from India. One of the issues was, even if much of the hair is not from the, you could say roiv of the hair is not from those sources that they thought was avodah zara, but even if it's a very small miyat, it doesn't make a difference. You have a problem even for that muma, that little bit. Ultimately, it was determined that that it's not really, most likely, it's not really a vayizara to begin with. Even the minimum amount that is a vayizara is not where we get most of our shetels from. And therefore, you don't have to worry that, you don't have to be chayshish that the shetels that we have are coming from an issue of vayizara. That was ultimately the outcome over there. But the point is, if on the tzad that it was, even if it was just a minun amount of it, it would be a problem because of layidbak biyadei muma. Okay, so that's the fifth issue over here. We're talking about atzei asherah. He cooked on Yom Tov gid anasha with milk, and he used atzei asherah. Says Gemara, 1 second. Once you use atzei asherah, you should have six, not five. He shouldn't be house. That's also separate malchus for bringing the avodah zarah into your house. There should be six. Five is not enough. Take an avara, don't put an atzei shera. Rather, v'ayil atzei hekdesh. Stick in the fact that it's atzei hekdesh. V'asar mehacha, v'asheram tishuv v'meish. Burn again, bite to the asherah trees, the avodah zarah trees of the Goyim. L'sasakein l'Hashem kechem, but don't do that to that which belongs to Hashem kechem, that which belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu, hekdesh, burning hekdesh. Eitz of Hekdesh, not for Hekdesh purposes, burning it for personal usage, has a separate Isser, this Isser of Leisasakin L'Shem Lekechem, that will be the fifth and final Isser. Okay, so Rabbah ultimately defends his position that we do say Hayel, really we say Hayel, and even though we say Hayel, there's still going to be five Isserim there by cooking the Ganasha, and what's the fifth Isser? The fifth Isser, we had a problem, Havara can't be because you say Hayel, and Achami, take out Hayel, take out Havara, and stick in Atzei Asherah. Okay. That is the ultimate, the answer according to Rava. Now the Gemara is going to offer, it's a very interesting Gemara, because if you remember, get our bearings, we started with the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if a person has challah, that is tummy, has dough, I should say, that's tummy, and he hasn't taken challah from it yet, and he also has to bake it because it's Pesach, and if he lets it rise, it's going to be chametz on Pesach. So he's in a little bit of a pickle. You can't separate the challah and then bake it, because if you separate challah, and it's tamei, you can't bake tamei challah, it's useless, no one's able to eat it. How you bake on Yom Tov tamei challah? Yes, you don't want it to become chametz, but you're baking on challah, tamei chametz, you're baking for no reason on Yom Tov. Burning, by the way, we spoke out, was not an option because you're not allowed to burn kachah psulim or true psulim on Yom Tov itself. Stamos, it's also, you can't do that either. So baking is not an option. Leaving is not an option. What do you do? So Rabbi Elazar says, no, bake all the bread without declaring which one's challah, then make one of them challah afterwards. B'dyavid, you're allowed to take challah after you already bake the bread. You're supposed to take mena'isa. But b'dyavid, you can take it after you bake the bread. Break the bread first. Bake the bread first. That was Rabbi Elazar's Eitzah. Rabbi Yeshua's, B'mesera's Eitzah was leave the dough soaking in water. The Mar doesn't focus much on B'mesera. Rabbi Yeshua's Shita was, you don't have to worry about chametz. Let it become chametz. It's not yours. It's challah. Belongs to the Sheva Kohanim. There's no one Kohen that it belongs to. Doesn't belong to the Bailam over here. Not a problem. Let it become chametz. Don't worry about it. That was Rabbi Yeshua. But he doesn't give the option of baking it. He says, just leave it. So we want to know, what's the machlekes Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer? What's the machlekes? The first Gemara suggested, I'm going over, it's important just to, for the Gemara we're about to have, the Gemara suggested that's a machlekes of Tevas Hana, that Rabbi Yeshua holds the fact that you have a choice who to give the challah to, Tevas Hana, that's not considered mammon. That's not value. And therefore, even if it becomes chametz and it's in your possession, it doesn't matter because tevas is not value. This the challah that's becoming as tamei is no value, and therefore it doesn't belong to you. You have no value, no problem by a matzah having that chametz. Rabbi Elazar held that no, that the fact that you have a choice who to give it to, that itself is a value, and therefore you have some ownership in this challah value, and therefore if it becomes chametz, it's a problem. Therefore you bake it and then separate the challah, but you can't have it become chametz. That's the Gemara says. Gemara said no. I'll tell you, tevas sinah mammon is not the machlekes. Everyone who gives tevas sinah the right to choose which kind to give it to is not mammon. What's the machlekes? Hayil. So the Gemara introduced the machlekes of Hayil. What's interesting over here is the Gemara is going to introduce another explanation in the Mishnah, another explanation based on the machlekes of Hayil. But the explanation the Gemara gave before on Daf Mem Vav on the base, right, 2 blad ago, the Gemara's explanation was, what's Hayil? Hayil that I can always ask out of my challah. I can ask the Chacham and say, I don't want this to be challah, I want that to be challah, and if I ask out of my challah, take away the status, then it'll be an issue of chametz. So that, because it's chametz that belongs to me, not to the kayan. So that's the concern. Do we say hail or not? Rabbi says we say hail. Rav Chiz said we don't say hail. But we want to explain that potentially that's the machlokes of Tanaim and the Mishnah, whether you say hail or not. And, but the hail again was relating to asking the chacham to undo the challah. That's how we learned the first time. Now the Gemara is going to suggest another explanation of the machlokes of Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah, based on the same machlokes of Yizamaram, again of Rabba and Rav Chizda, whether or not there's hayel, but a whole different angle. Nothing to do with asking out of the challah, a different angle. And Rashi raised Bavarns, why, once we're okay with machlokes of hayel, why are we going to a new explanation within hayel in the Mishnah? Stick with the original. Rashi says, because maybe the Gemara suggests that maybe we don't like to make a hayel with regards to the asking out of the challah, asking a shayla on the challah. Maybe there's a different form of hayel that we could apply as well. The Gemara wasn't fully satisfied, essentially, with the second approach, with the approach of hayel we used till now, and we're suggesting a new approach within hayel, within the machlekes Rabbi Chizda. Let's see it inside. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Bechama, Hadraf Chizda Rabba. This machlekes Chizda Rabba hayel, machlekes Rabbi Elazar Bishua. It's machlekes Rabbi Bishua. It's just funny the way the Gemara sets it up. Rashi and Bavarns it, but it's as if the Gemara forgot. We already said the machlekes Rabbi Elazar Bishua. The mission was a machlekes of hayel, a different usage of hayel, but hayel. Nonetheless, Rabbi Bechama says the machlekes Rabbi Elazar Bishua is a machlekes of Rav Chizda and Rabba. Whether we say hayel, and he explains to Rabbi Elazar Bishua, Rabbi says you say hayel. Rabbi Bishua says you don't say hayel. Rabbi Elazar says you say hayel, and Rabbi Bishua says you don't say hayel. Therefore, what shaykes? Rabbi Elazar says you say hayel. So a new explanation. What we mean is that hayel can mean that every single bread that you're baking could be not challah. Since every bread you're baking, you say, I can keep this one for myself, it allows me to bake this dough. One of these doughs are ultimately going to be challah. And I'm baking challah, which is of dough that's tameh, on Pesach, which should be a problem because I'm baking on Yom Tov. Hayel allows me to bake each dough because since each bread I could choose to keep myself, each bread that I'm baking I could choose to keep, Hayel says I could bake it and keep it, and therefore even though one will be challah, and it'll come out that I bake challah on Yom Tov, challah which can't be eaten, which is really an issur on Yom Tov, is still going to be okay because I could have eaten each one. That's hayel. And Yeshua didn't hold of hayel, and therefore he says baking is not an option, but he held anyways, don't buy Rabbi Matzah, and therefore it's not a problem. Okay. Amar Papa, not so fast. Fidum Az gonna come Rabbi Elazar Hassam, Tamin Hayel. Maybe Rabbi Elazar only says earlier that we say a concept of Hayel to be into the Ka'ili, Latanura, Kochad Vachad Chazli today. Maybe Rabbi Elazar doesn't say Hayel across the board. He says Hayel in our Mishnah because at the time of baking each loaf, each dough that you're baking, is taka fit for you to eat. You're going to choose one of them afterwards to make challah, but at that moment it's mamish fit. Maybe not. Over here, maybe not. Ema, hachinami, lemin hoyel. So, Repopulous questions, it's very nice. The pshat of the Mishnah is great. The pshat of the Mishnah that he holds of hoyel is great. But that wouldn't be an indication that Rabbi Elazar holds of hoyel across the board. Over there, at the moment I'm baking each challah, I really could say, genuinely, I'm going to keep this one. Eventually, one of them is going to be some, he's going to have to choose and give one to the challah for the kanim. But at the point of baking each challah, you could say, I plan to keep this one, and therefore hoyel says it's mutter. By the case of cooking a yantiv on a Tuesday, extra food for Wednesday, and he's saying hayel, maybe guests will come. Right now, there's no guests. For him, it's not fit. And maybe over there, he wouldn't agree to hayel. Maybe Rabbi Elazar would say over there, you talk about this, sir. Maybe he doesn't agree to hayel across the board. The prophet just doesn't like the connection that the machlekes Rabbi Rav Chizda. Meaning, even if you say hayel over here in our Mishnah, maybe you don't agree to Rabbi to say hayel by Yom Tov in general, by cooking for guests. And the Gemara says the other way as well. If Sheshi Rav Edi says,
He's not baking all of them together, it'd be a problem.
Excellent point. Very good point. L'chayr, if you make all the challahs at once, then l'chayr, you won't be able to say hayel because it would be much more difficult at least to say hayel because you can't say hayel like each one because one of them you still have to give a challah. Very good point. Shkayach liam. Amrav shisha b'edav idi, v'dil malahi, maybe not. Ad kada kamar b'shur ha'asam d'lo yamin hayel, elad ikka chada d'lo yachazi, leilei v'lei l'archen. Avahacha d'chazi miyas l'archen, emachrami amin hayel. And Rav Shishi Brev Edi takes the opposite direction. Rabbi Shua, who did not like the usage of hayel in this mission, the way we're interpreting it, maybe talking the mission doesn't like it because at the end of the day, there's one loaf of bread that you're not going to be able to eat. Not you, not the guests. You have to give it for challah, and the challah is going to be challah tameya, and therefore no one's going to be able to eat it. But over here, you, on the case where a person bakes on Yom Tov for after Yom Tov, you're right. Right now, there's no guests here, and he's full. Doesn't need this food. But maybe guests will come. It's fit for guests. Lamais is fit for guests. Maybe someone could say hayel all over like Rabbah and not say hayel in our Mishnah. And therefore, we're not going to connect the machlekes. We have a question in both directions in the connection between the machlekes of Chizda and Rabbah to Rav Elazar Bishua the Mishnah. There's an argument to deflect in either direction. This explanation that Rav Mechama gave to explain our Mishnah, machlekes of Rav Elazar Bishua, was said, put forth in front of Rav Yirmiyah B'Zeira. Rav Yirmiyah liked it. Rav Yirmiyah liked it, but Rav Yirmiyah did not like it. So Amalei Rav Yirmiyah B'Zeira, Rav Yirmiyah says to Rav Yirmiyah, Shani. This issue of our Mishnah that we had Shver, what is the Machlaikis of Blazer Beshua? The Mara responds up, my Pligi of Blazer Beshua. What's the Machlaikis? We had the Shver for many years. Hashta Amru Mishmei Gav Rabba. We have a Gav Rabba, Rabba Chama. This Gav Rabba, a great man, who gave an explanation. Flaina Kabli, I'm not going to accept it. I'm going to lay, Sir Bdesa Bek. Hey, Hey, Kabli, how can I accept it? Tatanina. We learned in a Bryce as follows. Amru Bishur, Bishur says to Rabbi Lazar, Lidvarecha Reu, Oivir Belishim, Lay Sassel Kamalacha. Rabbi Shur said, Lazar, according to you, you're cooking on Shabbos, you're baking on Shabbos, bread that was is impossible to eat because it's challah, it's going to be challah tamea, you're baking for no reason. Vishasaklan, Rabbi Lazar was quiet. Vishasa, but if you say, in the Bryce, Rabbi Lazar was quiet. Vishasa, but if you say this answer, remember, gave their blessed subscribes to Hayil, so why didn't answer him Hayil? Lame like time and didi mishamayil, why didn't he respond? And then my reason is Hayil. So says Reb Zera, because I heard this brisa where Blazer was shasa, was quiet, was stumped by Beshua's question, I was bothered that obviously he doesn't hold of Hayil, and therefore that can't be the explanation. So we'll leave you with the question, meaning Reb Zera was saying, I'd rather still have a question what the machlekes is, but not say a pshat, which clearly doesn't fit with what this brisa says. So I'm going to Beshua says back, not so fast. Well, Tamech, according to you, Hadatani Brisa, we went to the brisa's a conversation in the other direction. Amir Blaz Blaz says to Rabbi Shua, Lutvarech, according to you, just leave it around. Don't bake it because you don't want to be over baking on Yom Tov for no reason. But you are leaving around something which could be an Isser by Rabbi Matzah. Harei over by Rabbi Matzah, you're keeping dough that's becoming chametz in your possession. Why aren't you over by Rabbi Matzah? Vishasalem Beshua, and this price was quiet. But we know in our Mishnah that this is indisputable. We had our Mishnah 3 blad ago, again on Daf Mem Vav, the Mishnah says that what Rabbi Shua says back to Rabbi Meseira and Rabbi Lazar, don't worry about it. Let it become dough. We just pointed out a minute ago, it's not yours. It belongs to the Sheva. It doesn't belong to you. You're not over by Rabbi Matzah. Why in the Brisa didn't he give the same answer? When Rabbi Lazar asked him, what happened to Rabbi Matzah? He's quiet for Shasak. But we know he has an answer. You can tell me he didn't give an answer. He gave an answer in our Mishnah. Like we learned, this is not the Chametz that one is considered warned about for Rabbi Matzah. It doesn't belong to you. Ella. So the fact that he didn't give an answer to Brisa is not a riot that he was slugged up or he didn't have a response. The Brisa doesn't quote the response, but he had a response. Ella, Shasek, Leib, Brisa, Bad Leib, Asisan. He was quiet in the Brisa, but in the Mishnah he gave a response. So Hachanami says Rabbi Shua to Reb Zera, if your whole reason for not wanting to accept Rabbi Chama's answer is because in the Brisa, Rabbi Lez doesn't give that answer of Hayel, so too, he was quiet in the Brisa and he gave the answer elsewhere. Ema, Shasek, Masisan, Hadle, Mishachriti, Mishachriti. He was quiet in our Mishnah, quiet in the Brisa, and somewhere else he gave the response of just because you don't see him giving this answer and him being shasak doesn't mean that he disagrees with the idea of Hayel, and therefore why don't you accept Rabbi Yochanan's pshat? Okay, that was that conversation. Tanya, Rabbi Amalekha Blazer. So the truth is, before we go further, just one interesting point. Just to recap, the Gemara started off. The Mishnah starts off with Machlekes Rabbi Yeshua. What do you do with dough that's challah? That's going to become chametz, but it's also tamei. So you can't bake it as challah tamei because that's baking for no reason on Yom Tov. You can't. You don't want to let it become chametz. So then Machlekes Rabbi Yeshua says, no, let it become chametz because it doesn't belong to you anyway. No, by Rabbi Matzah. And Rabbi Matzah says, no, bake it all stam, and then doesn't have challah afterwards. So we had a Machlekes in the Gemara. What's the Machlekes? Is it Tevas Anam Mamun or not? That was explanation number one. The Gemara then veered from Tevas Anam Mamun to say, no, it's a Machlekes whether you say Hayil that you can ask out of it. And the Mara now has a third explanation, again a form of Hayil, but Hayil that you could say on each challah that I'm baking, could you say Hayil or not, that this one is technically fit for me, so each individual challah is going to be fine. That was the third way of learning it. So Rashi points out, Rashi skips over the middle way, the middle of the, we said before already, Rashi said the Gemara wasn't so satisfied that maybe the first Hayil is a good explanation. Rashi focuses more on the distinction from Tevas Anam Mamun to this Gemara's new pshat of Hayil. And Rashi, without getting into all the nuances, just a point of Rashi, Rashi makes a point to say that the reason over here is Ben and Tevas Anah, Rashi says because being over in Balira, Balimatza, is passively is better than being over in a Malacha, being over in Balimatza passively is better than being over on Leisaska Malacha, baking for no reason, baking something which is Chametz, which would be more active, right? In Rabbi Shua, we're saying that baking it active is a problem, rather let it sit back and be a Rabbi Matzah. He's saying, anyway, it's not Rabbi Matzah because anyway, it doesn't belong to you. But in general, Rashi puts out the concept that being over in, it seems like Rashi saying being over something passively, but namely, by Rabbi Matzah is better than being over in an active malacha of going to bake. That's the words of Rashi. And the question Rabbi Chanan has in it, this is a big yisayid. We've touched this many times in Shabbos, but it's a big yisayid, Kedai Chazar, is a shayla comes in front of a rav. You have a person, Nebuchadnezzar, chayli, he has to eat. He must eat some meat. The doctor said he must eat meat. And he has a choice in front of him. There's treif meat. There's no kosher meat available right now. So in order to get kosher meat, you have to shecht an animal and then cook it. And then feed the guy. And time is not an issue. Let's say we're not worried about pekuah nefesh, about timing. But those are two options. Shech the animal, cook it, and then feed it to the fellow. Or let him eat from the treifa right now. And maybe this is a treifa. So Pasha would say, shechting, salting, cooking, you're doing all these malachas to get to the food, the chayyim might be more simple just to cook the, just to eat the treifa. So the psak of the Rishayim is that no, the chayla should eat the kosher meat, shecht it, cook it, and eat kosher meat. Why? Because even though there's a couple of malachas that are being done to get to the stage of making the meat edible, it's one time you're doing one malach shechita once. You're doing malach melicha once. Okay, it's mutter for the chayla anyway, sakana, but you're doing each malach once. By the treif meat, every bite that he's taking, he's eating more treif meat. There's a constant isser. A constant isser is worse than a one-time isser. So even, and this idea plays out even further. That's the Ran's concept over there. The idea plays out, the first we discussed, that perhaps even when you have a more chametic isser versus a more lenient isser, if the more chametic isser is a one-time in order to pekuach nefesh, or for whatever reason it's being done, it's only a one-time act. Whereas the more kalaser is consistent. It's going to be multiple times. We go with the more chametic isser because it's once, as opposed to doing many more smaller isserim. We don't want to constantly do isser. With that in mind, Esra B'chanan, what's Rashi saying by us that it's better to have balyira balyimatzah as opposed to Leisasa kamalacha doing baking on Yom Tov. Baking on Yom Tov, you're right, you're being over an isser of baking the challah, which is tummy for no reason. But it's one isser, you baked it and you're done. Whereas Ba'yor Ba'matz is a constant isser of having chametz once possession on Yom Tov. L'chayra, Rashi seems to be arguing on this run, and he seems to be focused on the, not necessarily consistent isser. He's not worried about the more consistent isser. He's saying be ever more consistent isser, rather because you're not doing an action. So again, the explanation they give is Rashi's focused on being passive. He's not saying which is worse. He's saying Sheval Taisa. Either way you go, you got a problem. Sheval Taisa is always better. Do nothing. And when you do nothing, be over an isser with the Sheval Taisa, that's better. Not that Rashi's saying that being over many isser consistently is necessarily better than one big isser. It's Sheval Taisa. That's the explanation they give for Rashi. But the what do you call it? That's Rabbi Chanan's approach. But Moshe Shtermach, Zatzal, he brings beautiful. He brings that Adaraba. The Gemara, this Rashi is a Raya, and he brings, as you say, other Rayas to it as well, that Ba'yurah Ba'yamat says only a one-time Isser. We think, and this is a very, 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 very important Yisayit for obviously, if it's Mesech, for Pesachim, but for Chametz and Pesach. Ba'yurah Ba'yamat, if one possesses Chametz and Pesach, is he over Ba'yurah Ba'yamat, every minute that he possesses Chametz, he's consistently being over this Isser Lav over and over again? Or no? Once he owns this Chametz and Pesach, on each particular Chametz, he's over it once, and that's it. It's still in his possession, still has to get rid of it, but the Isser is only over once. And Moshe Shtermach wants to bring a raya from this Rashi. He wants to shtick with the Ran and say, no, Ba'yurah Ba'yamatzah is not a consistent Isser. You're not going to be over consistently, you're over once. And he says there's a logic to it. The Torah really tells us that Chametz Pesach is Asrbana, and if Asrbana doesn't belong to you, if it doesn't belong to you, you shouldn't be over Ba'yurah Ba'yamatzah at all. So we had the Gemara early in the Masechet, which says, it's a Chiddush, the Torah puts it into your Shus, even though you have two things that are not really yours, and the Torah puts it in your Shus to be over. So says Moshe Shtermach, the Torah put it in your Shus once. It put it in your Shus once to be over once, but more than that, you're not over. Everybody by Matzah on any particular chametz once, and that's it. And that his raya is from this conversation from the Ran. Interesting insight. Interesting machleik is really Rabbi Chanan and Rav Shtermach whether or not the Isser by Rabbi Matzah is a consistent Isser every moment or not. Interesting conversation. Okay, says Martanya. Rabbi Aymer Lachker Blazer. Rabbi says Lachker Blazer. Rabbi Tzimmer Lachker Mamzera. Back to our mission. What to do with this challah? This dough of challah. I mean, you need to take challah from it. The dough is tummy. Rabbi says Lachker Blazer. Bake it all and then take challah afterwards. Rabbi says the Lachker Mamzera. Leave it in cold water. Again, mentioned before that Mamzera doesn't get much airtime. All conversations till now between Rabbi Blazer and Rabbi Shua. But now we have a psak. Rabbi says Pasuk of Mamzera that you leave it the dough in the water and you make sure it stays cold and therefore won't rise. What is the amount of dough that one's allowed to knead on Pesach and not be concerned that he's needing too much that will lead to chametz? What's the amount? In the case of dough made from wheat flour, 2 kavim. In the case of dough made from barley flour, you're allowed up to 3 kavim. The reason is because barley flour becomes chametz slower, so we give you a little more leeway to have a little more volume. Is exactly opposite. By wheat, it takes slower to become for the level we spoke at earlier. Wheat takes the approach that wheat does become chametz faster, but okay. But here we're saying opposite. We're not saying for sure. Laws are opposite, that the barley is faster to become chametz, and the wheat is slower. And therefore, we can do 3 kavim of wheat and only 2 kavim of barley. Okay. For Tanya, ask Gemara. We have a question. Rabbi Shmuel Menashe Berech Meka Emer Bechitin Shloish Kavim B'Serim 4 Kavim. He has over here that by wheat 3 and by Serim 4. Before we had Rabbi Shmuel Menashe Berech Meka that barley you could have 3 and wheat 2. Here we're saying so the effect that barley is slower to rise, that's consistent in Rav Shmuel Menashe Berech Meka, but the amounts, before we said 2 and 3, now we're saying 3 and 4. Says Gemara Lekasha Habachasi Chasa. It depends what type of grain you're dealing with. If you're dealing with the shvacha grains, you're allowed more, 3 and 4. When you're dealing with the better grains, then you're allowed only 2, and 3. When you have better grains, they actually become chimitz faster, interestingly enough. Better grains, better quality becomes chimitz faster, and therefore you can only have a lesser amount, 2 or 3. Says Gemara, Amar of Papa, Shema Minon, learn from these halachas, this is practical related to Mekha Memker, just business advice. Garin Chiti, Garin Chiti Chasicha, Mechitim Chiti Maliasa, Tfame Garin Sar Chasicha, Messar Maliasa. When you look at the ratios, the poor wheat related in relation to the better wheat is the ratio is greater in disparity than the barley to the barley. Why? Diluasam Tilsa. Because by the wheat it was the third, it went from 3 to 2, to 3rd. Hachariva, whereas by the barley, goes from 4 to 3. 4 to 3 is a quarter. So the difference between the quality and the inferior is actually, by wheat, is a much stronger contrast. It's a full third, whereas by barley, it's only a quarter. Not for me, again, it's just for Mechamemko when you're doing business to know what pricing you should be paying for the better or worse quality wheats based on these ratios. Amarav, Kava Malegna, the Pischa, a Kav of Malegna. It's a Malegna was a certain type of a wheat, or it's, I'm sorry, Malegna was a measurement, Rashi says. It was a measurement that the Gemara assumes is a kav, and that's what you let it prepare for Pesach without worrying about it becoming chametz. V'chein l'chala, and that's also the shir legabe chala. Ask the Gemara, that's the shir legabe chala. He's saying a kav. The Gemara assumes malignant is a kav, and that's the shir legabe chala. But we learned in the Braisa, says the Gemara, top of Mem Chesam Beis, famous, this is very, very relevant to Lech Lamaisa Din. Chameshis Ravam Kamach Vaid, the shir of chala is 5 quarters of a kav, not a kav, it's 5 quarters. Basically, it's a kav and a quarter kav is the shir of chala, which, by the way, we say is how much? We say is 43.something eggs, right? Beitz, and that's the share of chayim, that's when it's chayim chala. And you're saying over here, it's a kav. Is it a kav or is it a kav plus? Hakamar, kav amalegna namya hai shirikai. Kav amalegna is based on that measure. Taka, that kav amalegna is the share of the kav plus a little bit, which is the share of chala. By the way, alach lamaisa, the alach of chala is, if one has 5 pounds of flour, we say 5 pounds of flour, some say it's a question of how many cups it is, but 5 pounds of flour, we say, is chayev in chala, and we make a bracha till adayim, we make a bracha for 5 pounds of chala. If one has 3 to 5 pounds of chala, that's in a questionable area. You're mafresh the chala, but you do not make a bracha. Between above 3 pounds, less than 5 pounds, mafresh chala, but do not make a bracha. And less than 3 pounds, one is not even mafresh the chala. Okay. Amar Beisif. Hay nashidon, these women by us, noig lmaifa, kiza, kabiza, kabiza, bischa, they bake no more than one kapiza, which is 3 quarters of a kav at a time of Pesach. They're careful. They don't even go, forget about a kav plus. They go up to 3 quarters of a kav. I'm there by my daitach, the chumra, because you're being machmer, chumra that's led to kulu. It's very nice chumra that the gavi Pesach, you're being machmer and baking in small amounts, but you know what you're doing? You're circumventing the chiv challah. By baking in small amounts, you're getting rid of, you're circumventing the chiv challah. To come mafkle machala, you're patting challah. I actually just saw a lacha brought this week from Rabbi Aaron Troy. He's discussing now in his, gives out these different halacha point almost daily halacha pointers, and he's focused on his focus topic right now is actually challah, and he mentioned news asked the shayla, is it better to make dough, make challah every Erev Shabbos, the covered Shabbos, this is Milo, or is it better to make, but you're not going to have a shear because you're not going to have the amount to be chayim challah, or is it better to make a batch at once and either leave the dough frozen or partially, part frozen or whatever, or bake it all at once to be chayim challah, and then use the challahs from the freezer. It can be more convenient to do that way, but you're not preparing every Shabbos for Shabbos. And the psak was that, yes, better to bake a larger amount than once to be chayim and challah and do it once every 2 weeks, once every 3 weeks, as opposed to every week in order to be chayim and challah. Here we see our Gemara and Samuel Vedam are saying, you're baking in small amounts to protect from chametz on Pesach, but you're losing the chiyav of challah. It's a chumr das li dekula, amrlei, to avdin kerb lazer. I do like a blazer of the mission, the time of blazer, aimer, harayd of one who removes all the loaves of bread from the oven and then puts them into a basket, a salam mitzar from the challah. One who removes loaves of bread in the basket and then puts them into a basket, then the basket is mitzar from the challah. From Yudam Mishmuel Lachir Blazer. So he says, I do two things. We make the women, they make their challah, they make their matzah on Pesach in amounts that are 3 quarters of a kav or less in order to avoid having too much dough, which can lead to chametz. But once it's all baked, we then go back and put it together, and we said for Rambam in the Mishnah, you can take challah post it being baked. So you, after it's baked, you put it together. But what the key point, by the way, it's going to be next Gemara, that it all has to be together in one kli. You put it in one kli. And Eretz Yisrael, those who are machmer, that when they buy even kosher products, but they're scared that even the chsherim, the best chsherim even, they're scared that maybe meiser sometimes it falls under the radar, sometimes it's hard to account for every single baked item, every cooked item, every item that you're buying that mice was taken. So whether it's fruits or vegetables, whether it's baked goods, it's called ibemeiser, and they take meiser another time. So what they do is, I've seen people do this. You have to have putah chamur, you have to have what to put it on, but they actually cover it all. They'll take all the cookies, the cakes, whatever it is, the challahs, they'll cover it with, they'll put it on one tray, cover it with like a towel even to kind of combine it and then take their extra challah. It's really based on this idea of this Gemara. Even if it's baked, you can take challah, but you have to put it together. You have to make it all combined again. How do you combine it? By putting it to one kli. Says Gemara, Amalei, for Itmar, we learned about that member of Relezer. Amar Peshub Levi, Leishan Elbi Kikaris, Shel Bavel, Sheneshevus Mizu Mizu. Only the Kikaris of Bavel that bite one another. They're attached to each other. They're connected. Avol Ka'avim, Lai. However, these long, thin kachin, these long, thin, narrow loaves, they don't bite each other. They can't combine from Meiser. Itmar La, we said about that. Amar Chinina, Afilu Kachin, even kachin, even if they're long, narrow loaves, long and narrow loaves, as long as they're combined in some sort of basket that combines them in order to be considered one, in order to take Meiser. Says Amar Bayer, Birmia. What if you have a board that's flat? There's no rim on the sides. So does that combine it on a flat board? On a board, but they're not flat. So it's not on the table, it's on a board, but the board's flat. Does that combine it? Teichli binin valekid. You need teichli in order to combine it, and you don't have teichli. I don't have avrikli binin valekid. Air is basically, yeah, if you have a board, and this is on the board, it's all on the board, but there's no teich, there's no inside, because there's no walls to it. What's the halacha over there? Is that combining it or not? Take it, we leave that as a shayla. Tanya, blaz, aimer, hasal, masarfin, the sal is masarfin, the basket is masarfin, the oven combines them, even if they don't get put into one oven, even into one basket afterwards, since all these doughs are, the loaves in the oven at the same time, that itself combines it, b'shem, gamil, aimer, kikarish, bavel, neshul, zumizu, masarfis. The loaves above that bite one another, they're attached when you pull them apart. Some of one part goes to the other, that's considered attached enough. That combines it, even when they're on the basket, that's not attached. And you can take Meiser, you can take challah from all of them. I applied it to Meiser, but the same idea, you can take challah from all them, from them together. They're considered attached. Again, it's late for those who are going to the 6:30 chakras. It is late already, but I want to go a little further from next Mishnah to Mishnah just to stay as much up to date as possible. Says the Mishnah, Gumil Eimer, Shalosh Hashmalash Kachas. We referenced this before earlier in the Perek. Three women can knead dough at once. They're kneading their own batches at once. And then baking the oven after the other. And we're not concerned, same idea, about them becoming chametz. We're not concerned that even though they knead at the same time, and the doughs are ready, and the oven's only baking one batch at a time, so the chera, you're concerned that the other doughs are being left. As long as the time it takes to bake the dough is not long enough, they have to worry that they'll become chametz. You knead the dough at once, put the doughs in the oven, one after the other right away, and that's fine. The chametz, no. Shalosh Hashem Eiskos B'Basik Achas. The chametz say that three women who are dealing with one, they're dealing with a dough at the same time, this is what they gotta do. Achas lasha, achas rechas, achas eifa. They have to be staggered. They have to keep themselves in different stages. While one is kneading, the second one is already shaping, and the third one is already baking. Because otherwise, if they're all gonna be ready to bake at the same time, and one of them is gonna wait for one batch to be baked, until they put in their batch. The second one's going for two batches. It's too long. It could come to an issue of chametz. Rabbi Kiva says, Leikal Nashim, Leikal Eitzim, Leikal Terim Shavim. You can't give general rules. Not all women are the same. Not all wood is the same. Depends how dry it is, how hot it is, the oven. Not all ovens are the same. And therefore, you can't, Rabbi Kiva is really primarily arguing on a gomil that you're saying that general, it's okay because you shot stop three women, the amount of time it takes to make to bake the doughs, and for the third one's dough to get baked, it won't become chametz. But how do you know? How do you know if their activity with the dough is the same? How do you know if the baking is the same, the oven's the same, the wood is the same? You can't give a generalization. You should have to be more concerned that it'll lead to chametz. This is the class of the Mishnah. Tafach tiltash b'tzainin. If the dough starts to swell, you know what you do? Put some water on it. Or she makes her hands wet with cold water and you smear it on the dough, and that will stop it while you're waiting. That's similar to working the dough. That'll stop it. It stagnates the chametz process, which is, remember, that was by Maseiros Eitzah with the challah. That was going to be tummy. Stick it in cold water, and that was his eitzah as well. Says the Gemara, so see this short Gemara, and it'll stop it next Mishnah. Tanar banan, lasha hi mekatefes. Once she kneaded her dough, she could shape it. The chavera lasha tachtea, and then her friend starts to knead her need her own dough, the second friend. Mekatefes yaifa, when the first woman shaped the dough, once the first woman shaped the dough, she's up to now the baking stage. The chavert mekatefes tachtea, and then the friend goes to shaping. So basically, the first isha needs her dough. The other two are do nothing. Then when the first isha goes to the stage of shaping, the second isha goes to the stage of kneading, and the third one's doing nothing. When the first isha goes to the stage of baking, and the friend is shaping, and the other friend can start kneading. And the third one can now start kneading dough. Lasha, when she bakes, once the first one is finished baking, then she kneads her new dough. And they go in a circle. Once the first isha finishes her baking, she can go back to kneading new dough. the isha that was behind her in the chain, it's a fairly simple chain, goes next to the baking, and the one that was behind her that had been kneading now moves to the shaping. And it goes to the circle, because he has the biggest side. As long as you're working the dough, it doesn't come to chimitz. Big machlek is Rambam and Ritva on this. As long as you're dealing with the dough, it doesn't come to chimitz. Rambam says, from the simple taich to Gemara. And that means I feel the koyam kule, even when you're working the dough all day, if you're working the dough, it will not become chametz. The 18-minute clock doesn't start while you're working the dough. If you remember, we had an idea, this is where it came up a few months back, where you had drip, you had tif-tif of water dripping on dough, and we said the tif-tif of water, the dripping water prevents it from becoming chametz. But we had a question about machlekes, what happens after the tif-tif, after it stops? Does the 18-minute clock start then? You have the full 18 minutes from when it stopped dripping, or no? Dripping prevents it from chametz, but your 18-minute window is still already open. And therefore, once the dripping stops, you better bake it right away. You don't have the full 18 minutes. That was Machlekes Rishonim. Similar over here, we have Machlekes Rambam and Ritva, similar type Machlekes. Rambam says, you have the full 18 minutes after you stop dealing with the dough. Once you're dealing with the dough, you have a full day. When you stop dealing with the dough, you have 18 minutes aside from that. Ritva says, no, it overlaps. We just mean, avadi still, you shouldn't be taking more than your 18 minutes share, more than your zman of a mil. We just mean that even during that zman, you should be working the dough, but not that you have a feel koyam kulei, avad, not that you actually strain. Interesting lesson. The Ritva gives strong praise and deference to the Chashivas of Rambam, but in this case, it could be leading to a serious issur of chametz. He doesn't like leaning to the Rambam that I feel the koyam kulei. If as long as you deal with the dough, it won't become chametz. Last Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, Eimer, Kol Anashim, Leik Anashim, all Gemara at the same time. In the Brisa elaborates on this machlekes. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Dante the Pharaoh Gamil. I argue for the Gamil. Yom Tener Rabbeinu teach us. Ben Nashim is Jesus. Ben Nashim changed Jesus. When you gave a klal, was your klal about women that are zaris or? Maybe there's women that weren't zaras. Which type of woman are you talking about? Furthermore, Eitz Malach Meitzvashim, was it dry wood or wet wood? Dry wood tends to get much hotter, tends to burn much better. Tanu Chametz, Tanu Zaynin, a hot oven or a cold oven. Amali, Ein Lecha Lamash Hashanu Chamim, Zeh, Klal Tafach Til Toich, But Zaynin. So Rabbi Yehuda said back to me, we only have a Techam Tort, which is what's the rule. The rule is that if it starts to crack, if it starts to swell, if it starts to look like it's coming chametz, quickly moisten the hand with cold water and put dowsing with cold water to stop the chametz process. Have a wonderful day. We'll pick it up with Hashem on